When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. We are 4 days away from Liverpool's 2021-22 Premier League season, 3 days until that starts. We're going to do a little preview show myself, Ross Chanley, joined today by Steve Hall and John Machin, in association with Skybet, a little season preview for you. So we're going to discuss our thoughts in the summer so far and what some predictions later on in the show. I'm going to take some of your comments as well, but this is with Skybet. So they have done a Skybet fan hope survey, which is an annual poll, over 1,000 people. In association with YouGov, taking some questions from the fans. Skybet have unearthed fans' hopes and dreams for the upcoming season, so we found out more about that. So I will put the link in the description and in the live chat, so you want to go check that out, see some of the questions that we won't reveal on here, and see if you agree with them or disagree with them. And as we go through them in the show, you can let your voice known as well, and we'll get to those as soon as we can. First of all, Steve, I'll start with you. Football is back. Saturday for Liverpool, as I mentioned, but first we've got Brentford and Arsenal. It feels a little anticlimactic. I don't know if I've even been disrespectful to Arsenal and Brentford in that, but it's just good to have Premier League football back, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I actually think that's not a bad little season opener because it's Brentford at home, so there is a...
It's not Liverpool, is what I meant.
Yeah, it's not. No, yeah. We opened the season, yeah. Well, when we played Norwich last, we opened the season, I remember that one. But yeah, that's like... chance of an upset. It's a local rivalry, you know, Brentford to Arsenal. It's a little bit, kind of a derby-ish, not really, but a little bit. And listen, there's a chance that Brentford can definitely turn Arsenal over on day one of a Premier League season, Friday night. I actually will watch that one. I'm pretty certain I will. And it's always nice, I think, to get a new team in the league. Like, the same yo-yo teams up and down all the time can get a little bit repetitive. You know, we've not seen Brentford in the top flight in the Premier League before, so it is a new team to see, a new stadium that as well to look at. So, I actually think that'll be a good game. I think it's a decent enough opener. And then, to be fair, the opening weekend got some absolute crackers as well. So, you know, City, Spurs, United, Leeds are all in there as well as our game. They've actually pushed the boat out a little bit. You know, they're games that you might save sometimes for later in the season. But like you say, I think we all, with fans getting back into stadiums, full grounds, I think they have, again, it's random and I get that, but maybe sometimes it isn't. And I think that some of those games are games where you'd have picked them out. I'm definitely looking forward to watching a few of them.
Yeah, and it's better spectacle, isn't it? John, you know, Steve's mentioned having fans back in stadiums, and as I said this on the show earlier today, I'm happy for all fans because, you know, they get their escapism. They get to go and watch their team. For us, as, you know, neutral games, okay, at the Friday night game, but even the Skybet Championship we started last week, I found myself watching some of those because it's a better spectacle for me as a football fan to watch those games without, you know, we've had no fans in football stadiums for months.
It's a different ball game altogether, isn't it? I mean, the atmosphere is so good. It makes better television as well, you know. And some of those games we watched last year were so soulless because there was just no atmosphere whatsoever. And without if you didn't have an interest in the game, it was really difficult to motivate yourself to watch anything, wasn't it?
Yeah, and probably also difficult because they were all on TV as well, so you kind of had an overdose of football in a sense.
I mean,
there was nothing to do.
That was one good thing, that, you know, you always knew you'd be able to see your team or get to see the game you fancied.
Yeah.
So that was quite good. And it's a pity they won't be able to keep that, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm still of the mind thinking that maybe somewhere along the line teams should be able to show their away games live for members or something, you know, somewhere along the line they should do that.
Yeah. Just bringing it back to Liverpool, Steve, and being a bit specific on Liverpool, are you more confident now than you were 3 weeks ago now we've had the pre-season?
Yes, because I've seen Virgil van Dijk come back and touch wood go through things without any reaction. Joe Gomez has done the same, so that gives you huge hope. Nothing else has really happened. Obviously, Canate happened a long time ago. There hasn't really been any transfers since, and I think we would have all liked to have one or two more in by now. But I think the fact that Virgil's come back and again and Joe Gomez, and the fact that, you know, Alisson, Firmino look sharper because they haven't had much time, they haven't been back a long time, that helps as well. The injury to Robertson's a blow, but again, from what we've seen in pre-season, Shimakas has looked good. He's looked fine. He's not as good as Andy Robertson, but he looks like the best imitation of Andy Robertson you're going to get, and you'll take that. So I think the fact that the centre-halves have come back and are fit, that gives you huge confidence. Again, Matip and Konate would have been a perfectly acceptable back two, and it might even be that that's the case anyway, but we hadn't really seen much of Konate, and even having watching him a couple of times, I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on him as well. So I think that's why I'm a bit more confident. It is a shame. I think they should have had a couple more signs in the door. Business should have happened to make you a little bit more excited, but I think the fact
still
that
a couple of weeks to go.
There is absolutely. It's just for this first week or two. Thiago the other day looked like he was fine and ready to contribute as well, which helps because you're never quite sure out after that mad season we've just had, and then two major tournaments happening. What are these lads going to look like? But they've all looked.
We're quite fortunate. A lot of them didn't play that much as well.
Yeah, and to be fair, You know, the teams we went far in the tournament, our lads were subs, which was quite strange. It's just one of those things that worked out. So, yeah, they shouldn't be too tired, and they all looked ready and raring to go the other day. So, I'm always comfortable with this Liverpool team under this manager. But yeah, the fitness of the centre halves has made me, I don't know, took a little bit of a weight off the shoulders.
Yeah. Do you have anything else for you, John? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that what Steve's saying there, plus the fans, plus the knock-on effect it has on the rest of the team. You know, you mentioned the front three getting a rest. It looks like we've got healthy competition for places. So now it's like, you know, you've seen, it's no surprise, you've seen the likes of Minamino, Chamberlain, Keita, all stepping up in pre-season because, you know, if they don't, then they won't have a season squad.
These are lads who've got one last chance to make an impact and get into the team on a regular basis, particularly Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see him having a future at Liverpool if he doesn't make a breakthrough again this season. And to be honest, he looked terrific. You know, Minamino as well, he made an impact, certainly early on in the game last night. I mean, they've had probably the best pre-season they've had under Klopp.
Yeah.
There's so many players actually got to have a proper pre-season. And they all look fit and healthy, and they all look like, you know, they're up for business.
And they didn't jet to Australia or Japan, these tours. Like, to be fair, like I'm a fan of the tours, and I know people in those countries like them. But I think if you ask Jürgen deep down, if he could get his lads and keep them in Europe on a 2-hour flight, you know, to Austria and then to his camp in France, was it? I think that's ideal for him. So, and like I say, Mo Salah, Sadio Mane getting a full pre-season as well, I think that's huge. Those two have had the rest on the pre-season, so it is the best pre-season we've had under this manager for a variety of reasons. So, and I think we've seen that in the recent two home friendlies, that they look sharp. Like the players who've been there throughout the whole pre-season have looked really, really sharp.
I mean, we were so good in the two seasons prior to the total disaster that was last year. You can't imagine. I may have sort of written off last season. It's just like a little nightmare I had. And I don't even think about it as actually being a season.
Yeah.
I just think about it as we're going to put out the team that lost one game in a season.
Yeah.
And I think it lost two in the next until the title was already won. And then it relaxed a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, who can beat us if we play to that level?
That's my take. I've recognised the Liverpool. Sorry, the past two games I've watched the Liverpool that I recognise, which is what you're kind of saying there. Like last season, just kind of forget about it, and it's done. And the players need to do that.
For
as well.
Me, there's Jota and Thiago. I don't actually think of them as players who are settled into the side.
Yeah.
Because I've not seen them really. I think of them as new silence.
Yeah, but last night was the first time I've seen Thiago in the flesh. You bang on there.
And you know, there's Jota, who we still don't know really where he fits into that side. We just know that when he's on the pitch, he scores goals. Mm. So how terrific is that?
There's lots to be excited about. We're going to get to some of the results in the survey that was done by the Sky Bet Fan Hope Survey. Sorry, right now. Liverpool fans are predicting they'll finish second on average, putting them in the second of predictions table just behind Manchester City. It's kind of hard currently, Steve, to disagree with that, but I suppose you can make a case for first, second, third maybe for Liverpool.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. I think if you ask most people, they would probably put City as slight favourites. I think we're going to win the league, I'll be honest, I do.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. I think we will win it again. But listen, it wouldn't be a huge shock if Manchester City won the league because they're amazing and they've won it plenty of times, and they did the reigning champions for a reason. They've just went and bought a £100 million player. They might buy another one. So listen, they're obviously like the bookies' favourites, and it makes sense for that. I fancy us for similar reason as John says, is that I trust this team, I trust this manager. You know, people talk about like, you know, well, your backups might not be as good as City's, and I get it, I completely understand it. And a couple of key injuries can derail us. Like it definitely can.
Well, that's the same for anybody. Isn't
it is. Yeah. City are probably the most.
They're fireproof, aren't they?
To an extent, but even they can't lose certain players. You know, when we won the league, it was because Laporte was injured, for example. It was one of the reasons said there are players who City still can't really afford to lose because every team's got them. City don't want to be trotting out, I don't know,
Fernandinho
was senior, or Nathan Ake for 36 games a centre half if they lose two centre. You know, things like that. Like can happen, but it's not a huge surprise that the majority think City are going to win it because it does make sense.
It's at the top end of the pitch where, you know, even if they lose De Bruyne, you know, they've got Gundogan who comes in and scores as many goals.
Foden, Bernardo Silva.
And Mahrez, and now Grealish as well.
They haven't got a striker yet, though, to be fair. They still haven't got
one.
Harry Kane, maybe. I mean, Ferran Torres, maybe as well.
I mean, if you've got a brain, really, and a football fan, then you make sense that it's City. But as a Liverpool fan, you can't see past Liverpool, surely.
No. Red tinted glasses do count for something, John. Just as John, I'll stay with you on this one. 41% of fans think they'll regain the title of Manchester City, and no one thinks they'll finish outside the top four. So Liverpool, I completely agree with that. I think
someone would have to be shot, wouldn't they, if they finish outside the
that
top
team
four.
That finished third last season. Yeah. It was a shell of Liverpool's team. It wasn't a Liverpool team. It was a Carling Cup team in places, and that got third place. Albeit, you know, the goal, they had to score a goal and stuff. But in the end, that might not have even mattered anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. An injury crisis of all injury crisis for Liverpool to finish fifth, like it would be really hard to see that happen. I just can't see it.
It can't get any worse than last season, can it?
You'd hope not. I mean, you'd hope not. But
and if it does, it's not my fault.
Yeah, it's like. And then someone who finishes fifth has got to capitalise as well. Like, we were there for the taking last year, and Leicester, for whatever reason, couldn't capitalise. And obviously, we finished with Chelsea. They had their own stuff going on in Europe. I understand that.
I mean, our biggest problem last year was that terrible drop off the cliff around February. January, February, March. You know, we lost 6 home games out of 12 games, I think. And we were just abysmal for a while. But without that drop off.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have probably finished second.
Yeah.
You know, we still wouldn't have won the title.
Manchester United conceded more goals than we did in the Premier League last season.
And this season, if we can avoid that kind of drop in form, and we've had it before under Klopp, we've dropped off in January.
Yeah.
But over those two seasons when we were brilliant, we just didn't get, we stayed at the level all season. Mm. And if we can get back to that, then we're unbeatable, in my opinion.
Have you been encouraged, John, by the last two friendlies in terms of, I think it's one of my biggest takes from pre-season was the depth that we do actually have. And again, I'm not going to suggest that we don't need to sign anyone.
Debate with Paul last night that our bench looks terrible because of City's bench looking so good. Yeah. And if you actually really look at our bench and you look at Minamino and, you know, if you go on last night for Firmino, Fabinho,
Thiago, Henderson,
Minamino, none of them. You wouldn't turn your nose up at any of them, would you? If you were another team in the Premiership and they came available, you'd have a little go, wouldn't you? Mm. But yeah, they're not as good as City's bench. Certainly not as expensive as City's bench.
No.
So you can understand teams casting an eye on them and getting a bit jealous. You know, we haven't got a £50 million player in every position on the bench. But, you know, we've got good players.
Who else do you think is in the conversation? Do you think Chelsea could be a threat? Or obviously,
Chelsea have to be, don't they? I mean, they've won the Champions League, which is going to give them an awful lot of confidence. They bought a lot of good, fast players last year. And although they made a bit of a mistake with Werner, who never really clicked, they're trying to get in Lukaku anyway, maybe to slightly tinker with that forward line a bit. And he may come good anyway. Because he's only young, isn't he? And of course, they may buy Haaland, who God knows who they might buy. Yeah. You just don't know with teams who can throw that much money at it.
Yeah.
Chelsea struggled for the centre forward. Obviously, we know that. They didn't score enough goals from their strikers. They spread a lot of goals out. I think Jorginho at one stage, I don't know if he finished top scorer, but he was there or thereabouts with his pens and stuff. Lukaku is a mate. He's brilliant. He should get you 20 Premier League goals, shouldn't he? Yeah. And that addresses a big issue for them. And then. That's the thing that they can do.
There's not much pressure on their Timo Werner to produce then, is there?
Yeah, but he might not play. I mean, there's no. That's the thing, is that Timo Werner wasn't Thomas Tuchel's signing. Thomas Tuchel owes Timo Werner nothing. If he doesn't want to play him, he doesn't have to. You know, he can he's got Pulisic there, he's got Havertz there.
Ziyech.
Yeah, Ziyech is still there. I mean, Hudson-Odoi is a good young player they've still got. He's got his options.
There's got a lot of talent there, haven't they?
Yeah, for sure. So, and again, their main issue last year, I thought, was the centre-forward. They struggled at times. They went and addressed that probably as best as they can, signed one of the best centre-forwards in the world. So Chelsea are definitely a strong contender. We saw how winning the Champions League can roll into a season and you can just go again. And the fact that Chelsea have added to their team and they haven't really lost anyone, they have to be in consideration.
Yeah. Thank you very much for getting involved in the comments. Harvey Davis says, we had no creative midfield when we had 97 points and 99 points, but he also thinks that we can win the league this season. I see some optimism in the comments. Next one, Jurgen Klopp has lost his title as the Premier League's best manager among all fans, but retains overwhelming support of the Liverpool faithful, with 99% of fans saying he's the man to lead the club forward, the highest in the league. I would love to know who the 1% is in that, because it's definitely not me. But to state to that result there, do you think there was a bit of disservice to Jurgen Klopp? Because I'm pretty sure, given the situation that he found himself in last season, on and off the pitch, I don't think there's a lot of managers in the world that could have coped with what he did and you know, eventually, you know, got a third place finish.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to him that we come third as well and his team and the things he's put in place that we were able to just get there somehow. I think he'll admit he made his mistakes. He probably should have put the centre-halves in sooner rather than putting his midfielders back there. But like you said, he put it down to the injuries and I get that. He's a human being, he does make errors, and I think we'd all agree he probably made one there. In hindsight, it's 2020, isn't it? At the time, he thought, I'll put my centre mids there because I've got loads of them. And then it turned out another one got injured, and it was a snowball.
I mean, we were led to think that Fabinho was our four-choice centre-back going into the season. And he was brilliant, but he shouldn't have been playing centre-back for us. He should have been playing in central midfield.
Yeah.
Minimise the chaos caused by the injuries.
And then
was it 16 changes of centre-back pairing in the season?
It was more than that. It was in the 20s, I think. Well, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, how the hell you manage to get a third position out of that? You have to be some kind of talent to do that.
And it's managing the morale of that team as well. John, we've spoken about this quite a lot, you know, of going into whatever your job is and then someone's sick and then someone else is sick and you've got to do their job as well. He's the guy at the top of all that that has to go, come on lads, we need to go again. And he did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Losing, you know, Van Dijk the injury, then Thiago got injured in the same game, and then it went on and on and on, the snowball. But what I would say, you never saw Jurgen like make excuses. He was told about the injuries and I get it, but he never once said, we're just throwing the towel in.
Yeah.
Even when we got beat, I think it was the Fulham game when we lost, and he was like, and then the Newcastle draw a bit later down the road with the last kick of the game. And then he looked resigned to it, but he said, listen, while it's mathematically possible, we're still going to go for it. And by hook or by crook, he got us there. Like, I don't know many managers who could have made that Liverpool team finish in third place with the team that we ended up with at the end. Like, that's hard graft. Like, there's teams who had almost full squads or, you know, not as many injuries and stuff, who finished below Liverpool. And their manager applauded them. In some cases, rightly so. He's an amazing manager.
Probably two goals away from finishing second.
Yep.
Or draw, you know, because, yep, you know, a couple of those draws turned into wins.
Those late
would wins have got us up there.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. You know, how anyone could manage to do that with not just with the players he had to play with, but with all the disasters that had happened to the club and how the morale must have been really on the floor at times.
Do you think they can use that to propel them this season, John, in terms of, you know, we all want to forget last season, but you can look back and go,
see it already.
That won't happen again last season.
I think you looked at Bobby Firmino last night scoring goals and with a big smile on his face. That told me that guy's raring to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole team are like that.
Yeah,
so I think they've all got things to prove.
Mm.
I mean, the only thing I would say that worries me is, although you know Steve was going on about Virgil and Joe Gomez, I'm still not sure how soon we'll get them on the pitch playing regularly.
But there's different levels we want. Yeah.
But we have actually got centre-backs there at the moment. Which,
if anything,
nice.
We've got too many now, John.
No, we haven't.
You can never have too many. Okay, speaking of signings, we're going to keep this brief on the signings. Kylian Mbappe at 59%, Jack Grealish at 58%, which is obviously a bit too late now. Top of the fans' transfer wish list. They're calling for a new span of a centre-back, which is 24%, which is obviously addressed. Centre-midfielder 31 and striker 33 in the window. Mbappe would be lovely. A certain manager's move to Paris, which, you know, they might need to you know, loosen up some wages over there in Paris if they want to. You know, they know where we are. But just in terms of, you know, we've talked about transfers before, centre midfield and striker, for me, I think I've said most of the summer, but I don't know if that's changed slightly because I was all midfielder, genius games, genius replacements, and I'm seeing Keita, I'm seeing Ox, I'm seeing Harvey Elliott filling those games, Curtis Jones, and Thiago will play more, we'll have Fabinho, we'll have Henderson in there as well. We're actually quite well stocked in midfield than what I thought, but it's all on there if they can stay
that's
fit.
That's the thing, yeah. Isn't it? For me, I think they need a centre mid. I just don't trust those other two lads to stay healthy. And if they prove me wrong, by all means, it'd be an absolute bonus. But you can't go into a season banking on Keita and Chamberlain to be available for the games because we've been down this road before, you know, players like Daniel Sturridge and players like Adam Lallana and such, where they're in the squad and they're there, but they're not really there for you. You can't bank on it. I think they need a centre mid. And I wouldn't really want Harvey Elliott playing centre mid. I know Jürgen's been putting him there. It's not for me. I don't think that's where you want him just yet. And the forward thing, a lot of it is on Firmino, isn't it? Because he couldn't hit a car's backside of a banjo at times last season. So I get that as well. I think, to be honest, if Bobby doesn't play, I think Jota will play up front anyway. And I'd be perfectly happy with that. It might even be that might be Jürgen's go-to anyway. Firmino might find himself on the bench with Jota up front. And I don't think anyone would really complain. It's what's behind that. So who's next? That's where, who's your sixth choice forward? You know, you've got your front three and you've got Jota. Well, who are the other two? I think that's where people are looking at it at times. Again, casting envious eyes down the East Lancs where they've got more options and stuff. I do understand it. I do think they should buy a wide forward who can play up front as well. I don't know who that person is, especially if Shaqiri goes, which looks like it could happen. And I do think they should have signed a centre mid. We have got enough options. On paper, the options are there. It's just when you start looking at who the options are and then they've all got like big question marks. So it's Chamberlain, fitness. Keita, fitness.
You could play a game of guess who with Liverpool squad and just flick them off every time they get injured.
Henderson,
who's left, yeah.
Henderson, fitness. Yeah. Jones, consistency needs to find. He's an amazing talent. Yeah. Can he be consistent enough? And then you look and then you're left with
Thiago. You can't be sure how his fitness.
And even the centre backs, as you said before, John. You know, it's great having Gomez and Van Dijk, but it only takes one knock to them.
You've got is Gomez, Van Dijk, who are coming back from long term injury. You've got Matip, who does spend half a season injured.
And more.
That leaves you with Konate.
Yeah,
who's new.
Then he put him Fabinho back in.
And he's 22, yeah. And he's new. Yeah. So
On paper it looks brilliant, but like I say, I think they need one more centre mid just because the rest of them have got too many questions. There's only really Fabinho. And to be honest, I'd say Thiago, if he's fit and he looks like he is, who you're like, yeah, absolutely fine. The rest of them have either got fitness concerns or consistency concerns or something to do with their age, whether they're too young or Milner, people think, can he play three games a week? So I think if you, Wijnaldum was the perfect centre mid. He was there every game at a good age and he'd been there, done it. It was a shame he had to leave, but I do think they could do with one there. I mean, Mbappe's living the dream, isn't it? If it could happen, then fair, I mean, by all means, we'd all be absolutely buzzing. It's not going to happen. I do think he could do it.
Not this season, Steve. Come on.
I mean, next, who knows? He hasn't signed his new contract. He's going somewhere.
It's a bit like whether you believe in Father Christmas or not, isn't it, Mbappe? Mm-hmm. I mean,
what are you trying to say, John?
It comes up every year, and we all believe it might be true, even though in the back of our mind we know it's not. Oh,
sorry, you just found out from John Machin there.
Mbappe doesn't exist.
No, Mbappe doesn't exist. No, it's just a myth. Let's move on. This is not really a surprise, Steve, but we'll go with it anyway. Liverpool are second in a list of teams that rival fans want to see fail, and 96% of Everton fans rate them as the biggest rivals.
Who's first? I thought we'd been the most. I'm surprised not number one.
Maybe you thought in the comments.
City United, who is it?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just don't have that information in front of me. Everton fans rate 96% of Everton fans rate Liverpool as their biggest rivals, although only 12% of Liverpool fans think the same. Liverpool fans are split between Man City 54%, Man United 26%, and Everton 12%. So you just thought everyone hated us.
Yeah. I'm surprised for a second. I don't know who that 4% of Everton fans who don't see us as the biggest rival is or whatever. For me, it's still Everton.
Those are the ones who think it's Tranmere, preparing for the future.
For me, it's still Everton. For me, it's different because there's an on-pitch rivalry and there's a City rivalry. So, in terms of rivalry, in terms of winning trophies, then it's obviously not them. But it's Manchester. Because they don't do that. it's Manchester City.
Yeah.
And it's Man United. They get those two. I get why when you say who's your biggest rival. It depends which way you look at it, but yeah, I do understand it. But I can see why a lot of opposition fans
just,
are really, really keen for us not to.
Mean, doesn't it? Because if you're talking about who's most likely to challenge us for the number one spot, then it's City, obviously. Yeah. So that's your biggest rivalry.
Yeah.
But who's the team who you're going to hate the most throughout the season? Then it's going to be United, isn't
yeah.
it? And Everton is a different kind of different thing altogether, isn't it?
It only matters twice a year, doesn't it? I suppose, or in FA Cups when we play the kids.
It might matter more when now people are going back to work and back to offices and stuff. And back to Everton probably does matter a little bit more, but yeah, it
matters when you go to Christmas dinner and your uncle's the blue. You know, that's yeah. the rivalry,
yeah.
isn't it? You know?
Yeah. That's good. Okay, we'll do the last one before we start getting some predictions. Stay asked with you and this. Liverpool fans are predicting they'll be second in the table after the first three league games against Norwich, Burnley and Chelsea, with the club expected to take 7 points from those. I think that's pretty fair. I would love 9 points. Obviously, Chelsea's a hard game and they're a different proposition. And obviously, Tuchel has been phenomenal with them, to be fair. They're going to come into the league season being champions of Europe. A new slate for them. You know, we don't have Lampard for a couple of months. Fall apart again. We're talking about Armorell. I think we have to take other teams into consideration, and Chelsea will be a threat, as we've mentioned.
Yeah, the flip side is our record against them recently is really good, especially at their place. We've turned them over a couple of times, haven't we? Again, I think we'll win all three of those games. If truth be told, I'd be shocked if they didn't beat Norwich first game. Burnley will be a dog of a. We know what that's like, and to be fair, like they did us.
But that's our first home game of the season. I know normally Hartlepool Burnley is a bit meh, but it's. It's the first time
Anfield League, Anfield. So I think that is something to hang your hat on again. It was them who start the run John mentioned earlier, started with Burnley at home, didn't it, where they beat us, and then it went downhill, so we do owe them one as well. It'd be an awful game, but I would expect us to come through it. And again, our recent record against Chelsea suggests that we'll do well, but again, Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, big game, big game for their supporters. It is an added dimension. I think 7 points, I think most people would accept that if you offered them in as well. Provided it's the ones you win, you know, you've got to win the first two, and then a draw with Chelsea isn't the end of the world. But it's got to be six from six.
You've got to start strong if you're going to have any hope of winning the title. You can't afford to be dropping points, certainly not early on, because you just get lost.
Yeah.
City is so far ahead. But, you know, we've got that home game nonsense from last year to get out of our system. So I think the players will be mindful of how they do at home.
Yeah.
And Chelsea's going to be a real flag, really, to show how the season's going to progress. If we can beat Chelsea that early in the season, that will set everyone up for the rest of the campaign.
John, do you think there's a potential naivety from rival teams, or mainly fans probably, think that Liverpool have been written off because of last season? Obviously, we know the ins and outs, we talk about it every week, but you think there's sort of people that go, well, Van Dijk won't be the same, Gomez won't be the same, we finished third last season, it was a massive drop off from what we were.
Possibly. I'm not so sure it is about Van Dijk and Gomez. I think it'll be about people saying, oh well, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
They've had their time, and you know, teams, it was always said, you know, teams have 3 years. And then they either change their personnel or they fall down, you know, they lose their way. And there'll be players out there supporters out there looking at us and saying, yeah, they had two really good years. Three, if you really look at getting to cup finals and stuff. Mm. And now we've fallen off. We're in our true level now. You know, that's the kind of
a lot of
view,
people just say, it was the Van Dijk injury. And it's like, wasn't it just Virgil van Dijk that got injured? It's about 10 players. Like, oh, no. Our injured 11 was better than the starting 11 we were putting out.
It was a total disaster, yeah. Wasn't it?
You know? And I think also the lack of a big signing. So our so-called rivals for the top four, well, the rivals of the top four, have all went and bought big, you know, Lukaku's going to Chelsea and City, if you're realistic, might get Kane. United went and got Sancho and Varane, for example. So that's probably part of it. All Liverpool have done this season.
So but United needed to make those signs because...
To an extent they did, but then they finished above us last year. So it's, you know, and again, different factors are it, and I understand that, but they still went and improved. Man United look better on paper now than they did 12 months ago, for example. They look a better team. So I think that's part of it. And also, a few of the teams below us, Leicester, have made some... what look like pretty good signs.
Yeah, and they've
again.
Won a couple of trophies, and that'll make them a bit more confident. I personally am hoping that people think that we're the team that's going to finish fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
And I saw this little survey of fans from every I think it was in the Observer. Every team had a fan say what they thought would be, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And there were like four of them who didn't think we'd finish in the top four, which surprised me, you know. And then the rest of them, I think there were only two, Liverpool and... can't remember the other one. Only two thought we would actually finish first.
Oh, wow.
And one of them was the Liverpool fan.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Got to come back yourself,
so,
haven't you?
You know, I'm happy. Love for us to be under the radar. You know, we haven't bought big, so the teams that have are really going to dominate the league this year. And, of course, they may well do.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that we're going to realise, you know, make people realise that we're still this really difficult side.
Yeah, and someone agrees with me in the comments here. Thank you very much for getting involved. Ludovic Lud says this year we are 100% better than last year already with the same squad. Also, he's conflicted on Chelsea in the comments as well. Some people saying Chelsea will be threatening for the league next season. I think I agree with that. There will be a threat. Right, we're going to get some predictions now. Feel free to play along at home. Hopefully this will be in the description afterwards and not in a live chat. I can guess some of the answers. We'll do league ones and then we'll do Liverpool specific ones afterwards. Steve, I'll come to you first. Title winner.
Liverpool.
John?
Liverpool.
Steve didn't even hesitate. He didn't even finish the question. Your top four?
Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Man United.
Yeah.
Liverpool, City, Man United, Chelsea.
Okay. I think I'll go with Steve on that one. Bottom three.
Norwich, Southampton, Brentford.
Southampton.
They just keep on all the best players. And then Bayern, Chelsea youth players to replace them. They might be brilliant Chelsea youth players, who knows, but Southampton look like they're in a mess.
Do you think Southampton will get another 9-0 loss this season?
I mean, I open up for them.
Okay, but no one wants that.
It's hard to predict, but I think they're in big trouble, actually. I think they're in big trouble.
Okay, John?
Mm-hmm. All the new teams.
Yeah?
Straight back there.
Okay, fine.
Poor Watford.
It's fine. Surprise package, this can be a team, or it can be a player, or both.
Oh, I think that Saint-Maximin's going to have a really good season for Newcastle because if he stays fit, last season when he played he was really good. He had COVID and I think it really affected him. He missed a lot of time. He's a crackerjack player, he's electric, and I think he's one of those players. He might be getting a move to a top four club next summer. He might have the Grealish type season where everyone realises, wow, like this lad's, I think.
Or
really
is he
good.
That player that you were describing before that you can play across the front line for
us?
Yeah,
I mean, he's. I don't know.
I'd rather buy him than the guy from Wolves, Traore.
Yeah.
Although we've been strongly linked with Traore.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
5 years about with Traore.
Yeah, every year.
I think Saint-Maximin, you can get yourself a headband.
Oh man, I'd love it. Get myself a headband for me dreadlocks. No, I think he's brilliant, and I think he could have a, if he stays fit, because he has had issues. I think he's in for a really good season. And to be fair, Newcastle are going to need him because they're another team who look like they're in a bit of a pickle.
But they had him injured, they had Callum Wilson injured, I think Ryan Fraser was injured for a bit. So
yeah, they were decimated by COVID as well. COVID really impacted Newcastle. I think he's going to have a good season.
Okay, John?
I just wonder whether the biggest impact will be like a reverse one. It'll be Jadon Sancho being awful.
Oh,
and not having a good season.
Okay,
that'd be nice.
Is that wishful thinking, John?
Yeah. No, I just think, you know, going to United, everyone's thinking he's like, they wanted him for like 3 years, you know, and he was struggling to get into the England side, wasn't he? And, you know, I'm just thinking maybe he's a bit overhyped at the moment.
Okay, I want to go with Crystal Palace, but I'm going to do what John's done.
Good or bad?
I'm going to sit on the fence because I looked at it and thought they lost about 10, 11, 13 squad players, but those first 10, 11 squad players were...
Old.
Yeah, so you, Scott Dan, Saka was there, Townsend, Kale, they've all gone. But that could be the best thing that ever happened to them. You know, an ageing squad with Roy Hodgson, bless him, but, you know, getting Vieira, injection of you know, youth, new ideas, plus new squad, it might be the revamp that they needed. So we'll have to see how they get on. Most red cards, Steve, this can be team or player again.
Brighton. Because they I think when you're an attacking team who aren't particularly amazing,
give away more fouls
and free kicks, and you're more, I think Lewis Dunk got two red cards. I think he was the most last season of any individual player. He got sent off twice. I wouldn't be shocked if, because again, they look like a team who you can counter on, and that tends to lead to yellows and reds. So I'm going to have a guess at Brighton.
Okay, John.
City.
Man City. Oh, I'm loving John Johnson. Yeah, I love that, John.
No, they never get booked. Fernandinho could be top of this pile if someone ever showed him a yellow card.
I'm going to go Rafa Varane. I think he's an exceptional footballer, but I think he's got a lot to handle playing with Ramos week in, week out, and then trying to babysit Harry Maguire. I think it'll just throw him completely. That is my hope that'll happen.
He just presumes that it's a centre-half job to get set. One of us has got to get set off. Yeah. It's usually Sergio. It's not to me.
I'll take this one. I've got it. Golden Boot winner.
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah. Yeah.
Okay, Mo Salah. Easy one,
He's another one who, when he first came, his pre-season was terrible and he scored loads of goals after that.
Yeah.
He's been terrible in pre-season in terms of goal scoring. So,
watch out, Norwich.
Golden boot incoming.
Philip Limigagos in the comments says Crystal Palace, Brighton and Brentford for the relegation. Lots of people agreeing with John on some of his comments as well. Golden boot winner, Sadio from Ludwig Lutz as well. Jota. Couple of people saying Jota.
Jota's a good shout.
Is a good shout, yeah. Okay, let's make it Liverpool specific then. You both said Mo Salah for the Golden Boot, so I'm going to assume Mo Salah is going to be the top scorer because that's how it works. Most assists for Liverpool?
Trent.
Ooh. Yeah, he might have the edge on because Robbo's injured for a few games.
Yeah. He's got 4 weeks to win that competition. You going with Trent as well?
I'm going with Trent as well.
Yeah. To be different, I think I'll go for Bobby. Bobby might be back in the mix again if he even plays. Surprise package for Liverpool.
Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it?
I suppose that's one of Keita, Ox.
Yeah, depends.
Whoever say fits the longest is the surprise package.
I think we might see a bit more Shimakas this year. I think not only, obviously, we're going to see him at the start of the season with Robertson's injury. I think last year Robertson had to play every game because so much had changed around him that the manager didn't trust to make another rest the player. I actually think it would do Robertson a favour not to play every single midweek game, for example. Like, he doesn't have to play every European game or every cup game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been impressed with what I've seen from Shimakas so far in pre-season, both defensively and going forward. I think his crossing is really good.
Yeah,
that's a standard, but his defensive work's pretty good. I know the header the other day, I thought it was a bit of a miscommunication between him and Reece Williams, but if that's Van Dijk or if that's a senior,
he's getting a shout from Kanate, and Kanate says, leave the ball, leave the ball.
I think there's a bit to do with that as well, but I think we might see a bit more of Shimakas, and I think he'll have a good. He'll be a decent option for us.
Okay, good chaps, John.
Well, Thiago, because we've not really seen enough of him yet. I'm hoping that he'll make a big impact on our team this year. Though I'd have a little shout on Harvey Elliott as well. I think if he actually does step up into the first team, I don't think he will, but if he did, he would only be doing it, you know, with Klopp's blessing as being a player who's going to make an impact.
But it's interesting, though, because you were talking about the bench before and what the options are. Like, I know he's going off pre-season, but I prefer to have him coming off the bench and making an impact for 10-15 minutes.
You remember, you know, Michael Owen coming in 18, being a first-team regular. Robbie Fowler coming off the bench or playing and scoring 4 in his first game. That kind of impact, young players can make that occasionally, and we haven't had one like that for a long time. You know, not a forward, you know, forward moving player. So you never know.
One of those people could be Taki Minamino, Henrik Karsten, Pops, loads of people saying Taki in the comments as well. You know, he's
surprise package.
I'd
be surprised that he's still here. I thought he might have gone. It looks like he's not going.
He was involved in all 3 goals last night.
Yeah, and he looked good.
Lots of space on the left.
His first touch was immaculate. I've got a couple of mates who are Southampton fans, and they said he was dreadful when he was on loan there. He scored a couple of goals.
Scored against Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah, other than that, he
scored a couple of goals early on, didn't he, and then got dropped.
Yeah, he's certainly good enough. I thought he'd be gone by now, but it looks like he's hanging around. So, again, he's not a bad option to have. What I would say, his first touch is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, his first touch quite often is really, really good. I think he might leapfrog Origi, for example, in the pecking order. He could be that, you know, talking about that fifth.
Kate Gordon leapfrogged Origi.
I think we're talking about that, you know, the fifth choice.
Be the new Bessayoun, someone like that. Yeah. A little busy player.
Yeah, he might find himself. It's obviously the front three, Jota, the four. He might find himself as number five.
Yeah.
And if that's his position, he's probably going to get a lot of games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely got a chance.
Okay, then let's move on to best youth player. I'm guessing this is going to be limited to Kate Gordon, as I mentioned, Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, Nico probably chuck in there as well.
Kelleher.
You know, he's only young.
Yeah, of all those, I think the most likely to get minutes is going to be Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think as much as everyone loves Harvey Elliott, and I'm all in on the Harvey Elliott bandwagon, I think Jones will get more minutes than him. And to be fair to Curtis Jones, he's never done really nothing wrong, has he? I think at times he lacks consistency and his decision making at times has been a bit iffy, but then he scored big goals, he scored important goals, and he doesn't look out of depth playing for Liverpool, and I know that's...
He's got confidence in himself, which I like.
He plays in a Liverpool midfield and he looks like he belongs there, which is that's not easy for a young lad to do, so I'd say it's probably going to be Curtis Jones with a little dash of Harvey Elliott here and there, but I think...
I don't really think of Curtis Jones as that kind of a player. I think of him as an established player now. Same with Nico Williams in a way.
Yeah.
I'd be looking to say to Beck, because if Robbo's out for any length of time, he's understudy to Tsimikas, therefore he may well play in the League Cup in games like that. And he looks like a bit of a talent.
He was brilliant against Bologna against came on, didn't look out of depth. A young player, I think Kate Gordon I put in that conversation as well. So it'll be interesting. Most bookings or red cards for Liverpool?
Thiago can't tell.
Thiago in the first game.
Yeah. But he won't be in that deeper role. He'll be fine. He's got Fabinho behind him, and he's got Virgil van Dijk and whatever else. He doesn't have to worry about tackling anybody.
He can't tackle, can he? Fabinho's not a bad shout either, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Probably one of those two. I still say Thiago. He just gets booked every game.
Okay.
He does, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to change your mind. I'm going to go with Naby Keita. I think
he can play enough.
But I think he will.
He came with a reputation for being sent off a lot, didn't he? And he doesn't look like he could kick his way out of a paper bag at the moment. So I'd like to see that fierce Keita back, to be honest.
Yeah, and not get injured when he does kick someone, which would be lovely. Standout performer. So obviously, it rolls out Mo Salah because he's picked your top scorer. So who else do you think will be top of the pile?
For me, it's Bobby Firmino, because I think he's got a lot. You know, there he's got a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of criticism from last year on his back. I think he might well just shine this year,
and he's got fans back as well. John, you mentioned last night he was pulling out all the tricks and stuff like that. He thrives on things like that, but also I think it's important for some of these players, particularly the front three. You know, well, Manny and Bobby more so got the criticism that you're talking about because they were playing week in, week out. So having Jota there is not a bad thing for healthy competition. But also, we're not relying on Bobby to run himself into the ground and play three games a week. So you've got the choice of playing him there. Steve, you agree?
Trent.
Okay.
I think that's good. I know I put him on my most assists before, but...
Yeah, you're putting a lot of pressure on Trent.
Not at all. I think he's brilliant. Yeah. I just think he's that good. I think he's the key to Liverpool's team. Like, the play goes via him. And he looks bigger and stronger. He looks like he's more...
He's getting better all the time.
He looks like a...
And again, signing a new contract, you know, his future's secure, he can concentrate on his football.
He's guaranteed his game.
He plays an awful lot more of his game in the midfield now than he's ever done, you know, I think he's looking better for it.
And again, he can play the way that he wants to play because he's going to have, I say, proper centre-halves that play our style of play so he can go forward.
Yeah, he's got Mo Salah in front of him, he's got all kinds going on. I think he's a world. Like, I think he's going to have a really good season.
Okay, final one, John, I'll come to you on this one first. Number of trophies Liverpool will win this season?
Two.
Do you want to name them? You're just going
to
say...
Do I need to name
them? You can do whatever you want, John.
Champions League and Premier League.
Jesus. Oh, John Mitch, thank you so much. Steve?
Won the league.
Just one?
I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I really want to win the league because I want us to have a big parade and we think we're owed that.
If Jürgen cared about the Cups in any way, shape or form, I actually think we've got a squad that can challenge for them. And sometimes it's a little bit luck of the draw as well, but... I wouldn't hate to see her go with far in the domestic cup. I think
FA Cup though.
But either, like, I'm not bothered because A, I like going to finals.
Yeah.
And B, like, we talk about game time for these younger lads and young players. Like, Harvey Elliott getting a League Cup run, for example.
We've been really unlucky, haven't we? Because he wants to play, you know, the second string and young kids, and he plays them, and then we get Arsenal, or we get Leicester, we get someone United who's going to knock us out if we play that team, but he plays that team anyway.
Yeah. Or we're playing in guitar and we get forced to play a young side.
Yeah. So, it would be nice to see us have a little stab at the Cups, just for those other players, because sitting on the bench week in, week out must be really depressing.
Yeah. And just so Man City don't win the Carabao Cup, it's getting boring now. I'm sure Jack Grealish won't mind, but we'll have to wait and see. There we go then, gents, thank you very much. Thank you to you at home as well for listening and for watching and for getting involved. If you're not watching this live, do carry on. We'll check the comments back today and tomorrow and see what you've said. And thank you very much as well to Sky Bet for sponsoring the show. As a reminder, the Sky Bet Fan Hope Survey is available in the description and live in the chat now. You want to go and check that out. We've read some of them up, but there is a load more. Go and see if you agree or disagree. We'll be back later on this week with a with a Talk Norwich City preview ahead of the game on Saturday. We're also doing a build-up show, and we're going to do the starting 11 show as well, which should be interesting because there's lots of conversations to be had. Thank you very much for listening and for watching. We'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.